Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Church. You guys excited to be here today? It is the 4th of July weekend, and you're here. Come on, look at someone, just nod and go, yeah, that's right. That's what we did it. We did it. You guys are amazing. I'm saying hello right now to our North Platte campus, our Carnegie campus, and online. We're doing something special at Ogallala today, so that's pretty cool. But today, guys, how many of you guys know that as a pastor, as your pastor, that we believe in the next generation? We believe in empowering the next generation. If you guys were around in November, then you know that we believe in the next generation. I did a special service during Kingdom Builders where we highlighted four future Christian leaders. It was probably the most fun service I've ever created. Why? Because I sat on a stool in the back with an air horn. If you weren't there, you missed it. Don't ever miss a Sunday at New Life because you're like, holy cow, what in the world did we miss? Well, they had a timer, right? And they had like 5 minutes to preach this short sermon. And if they went over, I used the air horn. And that was the Sunday I was secretly praying that they would all go long, all right? And so many of them nailed their time. I was like so impressed but so frustrated at the same time. I just had to like light the air horn off. Well, that was future Christian leaders. Today we want to highlight emerging leaders. Emerging leaders. At both our North Platte campus and our Carnegie campus. And you might go, well, what's the difference between a future Christian leader and an emerging leader? An emerging leader is somebody that's on staff with us already, okay? They sense a call of God. They've surrendered to that call. We found that call in their life attractive. We brought them onto our team, and we know that it's our responsibility to develop them and to disciple them to be the young men and women of the future that are going to lead God's church. But right now, they're emerging leaders. You guys understand what I'm talking about now? Okay, that's the difference. A future Christian leader is someone that might be in college and, man, they're going to school for whatever it is, but they love the Lord and who knows how God's going to lead them. So we're dealing with emerging leaders today at both of our campuses. At North Platte today, our very own Pastor Kara, associate campus pastor in North Platte, she's going to be preaching in North Platte. Come on, guys, give it up for her. And right here at our Carney campus, we got a young guy who used to be in our youth group here, who now is our youth pastor in North Platte, Trevor Faber. Pastor Trevor's preaching here at the Carney campus. Come on, guys, give it up. All right, so it's an exciting day. It's an exciting day this 4th of July. We're giving freedom to the next generation. Who knows where we're going to go? All right? But what I want you to do is I want you to lean in. I want you to laugh at every one of their jokes, even if they're not funny. I want you to amen them when they don't deserve it. And I want you to stay awake, all right? Even if it gets boring, all right? It's not going to, but stay awake. So here's what I want you to do. At Carney and at North Platte, would you jump to your feet and would you welcome Pastor Kara and Pastor Trevor to the to our platforms today? Come on. Give it up, guys. Come on, come on. Come on, dude. All right, it's all yours.
Wow, thank you, everyone. Like you said, my name is Pastor Trevor. I'm super excited to be here with you guys, and thank you for the opportunity of being here. If you didn't know, I'm the youth pastor at our North Platte campus, but I was an intern here for a number of years before then, before you send me out. And you may recognize me as the guy who used to do the announcement videos when they used to do that. You know, I was the guy who... At this time, our venue hosts are coming to receive your tithe and Kingdom Builders giving. There's multiple ways you can give. Offering buckets are being passed out. Yeah, that was me. That was me. I could do that. Still have it memorized. And so I'm so thankful to be here and kind of share what God's put on my heart. But I think I'd be doing a disservice if I didn't take the time to thank Pastor Jeff. Growing up, I always heard, be careful to get to know your heroes because then you get to see their flaws. But the more I've been on this team and the more I've been around Pastor Jeff, that you lead with an incredible heart. You lead with integrity and transparency and a heart for this church. So can we give it up for Pastor Jeff? Yeah. I love being a part of this team. But we're going to dive right in it. So I talk really fast. So if everyone needs me to slow down, just do this motion and I'll start slowing down how I talk. Thank you. Appreciate it. Here we go. We're starting off great. So a couple weeks ago, Pastor Tyler, who is my boss in North Platte, good friend of mine, approached me, and he's a huge Nuggets fan. He was from Colorado, and he's a huge Nugget fan. Nuggets were in the finals, and he's like, hey, I got these sweet tickets to where we can get into the stadium for a watch party for one of the finals. Like, would you want to join? Pastor Dave's going to be there. It's going to be awesome. I'm not a big basketball guy, but anytime I get to be around Pastor Dave or Pastor Tyler, I'm taking the chance. And so this is a complete side note, but for some of us today, take every opportunity to be around the people you look up to. Take every opportunity. You won't regret it. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm in. Let's do it. And so we load up the van, and it's Pastor Dave and Pastor Tyler, and he's got his kids there. And Isaac Martinez, the guy from North Platte, he was with us too. And I'm sitting in the side. And we're so excited, and all the kids are shouting, and they're so pumped for this four-hour drive. And along the way on that four-hour drive, there was one phrase that kind of kept being repeated over and over. You're probably guessing what it is. And if you've gone on a vacation or taken a road trip at all, you've probably heard this phrase or said it yourself. The phrase is, are we there yet? Yeah, absolutely. Many times in life, I feel like we can have that very question. Am I there yet? Or maybe for you, it's, am I there yet? Maybe you've been working on getting a degree for a number of years, and man, am I there yet? Or maybe you find yourself longing to get in the green financially, and you've been putting in extra hours and doing overtime, and you're asking yourself, man, are we there yet? Or maybe you finally got married and think that marriage is going to fix all the relationship problems, and you're still struggling, and then now you're at the point of like, are we there yet? How much more do we have to go? Are we there yet? Or maybe you're like me, and you have thoughts of having your own family someday and having your own kids. Like, God, why am I not there yet? What more do I have to do? Or maybe you've been praying and praying and praying, and God's not answering the prayers that in the way that you think he should answer them. You might be asking, how much more do we have to deal with this? Are we there yet? Am I there yet? I think if we're all honest with ourselves, I bet there's times and moments, and there's something in your life today that you can ask, am I there yet? What more do I have to do? Will you pray with me? Lord, my prayer today is that my words be your words. And that everyone in this room and watching with us online, that they, if they came in here feeling discouraged or feeling like they're stuck or lost faith in you, I ask that they will leave this place encouraged and that they will find the faith just to take one more step, just to take that next step to follow after you, that we know that you are faithful even in the here and now. I just ask that my words be your words, that I can share your love, grace, and mercy to everyone here and watching online. My last prayer is that someday, real soon, North Platte gets its very own Taco Bell. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. And if you don't ask, you know, it's worth a shot, right? It's worth a shot. So 2 years ago, yesterday, I was hired on staff to be the North Platte youth pastor. And so I moved out to North Platte on July 1st, 2 years ago. And on July 5th, 4 days later, I was asked to lead a go trip with Pastor Javen. We're going to take 13 high schoolers down to Arizona for a couple days, and a road trip in the whole way, no flights. We were driving, and we were going to take the whole trip down to spend a couple days working with some kids ministry, and then we're going to come up through Utah, hang out in Denver for a couple days, and then we're going to head back after doing some ministry there. And it was awesome. We were so excited. And so we load up the van. We're headed down. I'm on staff for the first time. I'm youth pastor, I'm feeling good about myself, and we're 10 hours in on this 18-hour drive. It was a slog, and we stopped for probably the third or fourth or fifth time to go to the bathroom and get gas, and as we stopped, we realized that the interstate was dead stuck with traffic, as far as the eye could see where we were going, and so we're like, oh, what are we going to do now? And so Javen and I pull out our phones, and we're looking at maps, and there was an accident that happened, and now traffic's like piling up behind us where we even got off the interstate, and we're like, just look at our options, I guess. And so we looked, and we tried to find alternative routes, and we found this one that kind of winds around this mountain and things like that. And so we were like, well, maybe we could follow this path. Maybe this could be an alternative route. And we thought to ourselves, well, if it's on the map, like it's got to be at least a drivable road, right? They're not just going to put a bike path on Google Maps. And so we weigh our options. Like we've been in a car for 10 hours. We're not going to wait 2 hours in traffic. We'll just take it and see what happens. And so we start traveling down this road, and my hopes were quickly crushed because the path. Jeff, I don't think you've heard this story. Now's a great time if you want to go to the bathroom, get some coffee. No? No? Okay. This path that we were on quickly turned into a glorified bike path. It's concrete turned into gravel, which turned into dirt very quickly. And we end up winding up and down these hills and bumpy roads in a 15-passenger van and a trailer and a bunch of teens that I was now put in charge of to lead, guide, and direct. I was winning. And it's funny how when you try to do something different from the norm, you're met with opposition. Living a life different from the world may feel challenging, and it may look different. And from the outside, you can see that everyone else around you appears to be getting everything that they've ever wanted, and yet you're stuck here. Living a life as a Christian will look different. There will be unique challenges, but when you decide to live that way, it has a unique reward. It's amazing. Luke 13:24 says, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and not be able to." The narrow door. Just like the narrow path that we decided to drive down was difficult and it was winding and it was less traveled, but we believed and had faith that if we continued the path, we would have the benefit and the outcome that we were striving for. Are you willing to stay the course? 15 minutes of us driving up and down, maybe closer to 30, it's hard to tell. We were no closer to the interstate. The path was winding, but it matched perfectly with the GPS path that we had, and so that builds a little bit of faith, right? Like, you gotta keep going, I guess. But I mean, we're passing cactus, and there's a tumbleweed, and there's dirt all around us, and I think Wile E. Coyote's chasing the Roadrunner over there, and like, we are out there in New Mexico, just out there. And some of the kids are rightfully so freaking out, you know, they're at the point of like, we're lost, like, there's no cell service, I'm gonna die now. And so Javen and I had this brilliant idea that we're gonna get everyone out of the vans on this random path, and we're gonna take a group photo together. And so I think we have that image there it is, that's us, look at that. It's a great image, like it's looked like a nice photo for us, but what you guys don't know is that's the road we're driving on, is what they're standing on. That is what the path looked like, with the trees and cactus and everything. That was what we were driving on. And so, you know, we, funny moments, it kind of built a little bit of faith when they had, you know, we made light of the situation. And it's crazy that we were in the middle of nowhere, somewhere we shouldn't have been. Who knows what was going on? We could have been panicked, we could have been freaked out, we could have been upset, but we made the decision that we were going to make our moment and make the most of that situation. So whenever you ask yourself, am I there yet, is an opportunity to make the here meaningful. Whenever you have an opportunity where you're asking, why am I not there, you can make the here meaningful. You may not control the situation you're in, but you can control what you do in the situation. Your desire may be somewhere that you are not. You know, man, I wish I had that promotion already. Dang, Bill got the promotion. I worked twice as hard as Bill. Or, I wish I was retired already. I just want my life back. I want some freedom. Or maybe I wish I was free from that addiction that I can't seem to break the grasp of. Or man, I wish I was debt-free already. Whatever it is, you may not be able to control when you get to the there, but you can control what you do in the here. I don't know what it looks like for you, but I can tell you what I've been trying and what it looks like for me. Like I said, one of my greatest desires is to be a dad. I think there's so much joy and that, and there, I get to be a dad. But here, I get to spend awesome time with some awesome dads. There, I get to figure out what parenting is like. But here, I get to spend around time with some awesome parents and grow myself. There, I'll be able to make great memories with my kids. But here, I get to be the fun uncle and hang out with City Bear and wrestle with them or have interesting facts to spat out with Milo or do this weird stare game with Asher or whatever it is. I get to enjoy those moments now, and so I'm making the most. God has given me the passion and desire to be the father, and I'm not there yet. But here, I can grow into the father he's created me to be. And so what is that for you? What is the here that you can maximize? I started to realize that I'm not there, but I'm gonna make the here meaningful. Ephesians 5:15-17 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand that what the Lord's will is." What is it that has you stuck? Or asking, when is it gonna be over? Can I just be there? What can you do here and now to make that meaningful? As we loaded up the van back up and continued down this road, we got to this narrow fenced-in area, and there's these two poles that extended up, and on one of the poles was this black and orange sign that said, you guessed it, no trespassing. And so we stopped, and Javen and I looked at each other, and we're like, okay, well, clearly we're not supposed to be here. This isn't where we belong. There's no sign of the interstate. We don't have any cell service. The road at this point we've got to is too narrow for us to back up. Like, I backed down a ditch trying to get back and turn back around, and we're 45 minutes into this expedition. There's not much we can do. And so what do? I look at him, look back at the road, look at him, look back at the road, throw that sucker in drive, and we kept on going. I mean, what else were we going to do? What else were we going to do at that point? Somewhere on that path, and the same for you on whatever journey you're on, there's a point where you just have to say, what else am I going to do? What else am I going to do but pursue the Lord? If you're a Christian and you've followed that in your life and you recognize that I've tasted and seen what the world has to offer, and it's not what I want in my life, and so you pursue after the Lord, and as you're following him, you realize it doesn't matter what I see in the situation is, I'm going to pursue him because the outcome's the greatest. If you want to accept your situation and continue moving down the path, you must do a very simple but challenging thing. You must cross the point of no return. What this means is, God, I recognize that this is not the situation I thought I'd be in, but I'm trusting you and I'm not turning back. Maybe you've recently become a Christian and you're surprised that all your problems didn't immediately get erased when you became a Christian and you're facing the same challenges. But now is the time to cross the point of no return. Maybe you felt the call of God and God is calling you into ministry and you've kind of towed the line of going back and forth and you're not sure, and now is the time where he's knocking on your heart. Now is the time to cross the point of no return. Maybe you find yourself struggling in a marriage and you two are on the brink of a divorce. But here you're recognizing that you made a covenant between that person and God, and that was a point of no return, and now you need to continue that promise of continuing down that road. Unlike traveling down some random dirt road in New Mexico, crossing the point of no return is so much better the sooner you do it in your walk with the Lord. The sooner the better. The best example of someone crossing the point of no return to me is none other than Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. One of the most profound things in the Bible that's so short and so simple. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before you had the opportunity to accept him, he died for you. That's the definition of crossing the point of no return. He crossed that point for us. Even if you never pray, even if you never accepted him, asked for his forgiveness, believed in him, he died for us. He crossed that point. Whatever situation you find yourselves in today, God's asking, will you trust me? Will you continue what I've started with you? Will you have enough faith to believe what I have for you is better? I sent my son to cross that point of no return. Will you cross this point in pursuing me? Cross the point of no return today. It might be the best decision you'll ever make. As we continued on this grand adventure, probably committing a felony of some kind, we're passing by these RVs and beat up mobile homes, and we come to this part where I have to make like a sharp 120, 80 degree down a muddy hill, and I feel the trailer fishtailing, and I'm white knuckling driving, and Pastor Javen's ready to just bounce and save himself, and we fishtail down that road, and we find ourselves on another muddy path, and I'm like, I'm just gonna have to punch it, and so I punch it, and we go through it. I'm thinking some high schoolers are gonna have to get out and start pushing, and we kick up some mud and dirt, and we hop up over this hill, we take a left turn, and we come up over this hill, and there's the interstate. And we hop onto the interstate, kicking up mud and dirt behind us, and we just take down the road, just like nothing ever happened. And that was it. That was it. No one on the road had any clue of the road and the adventure we just had. Not a clue. And no one will know the biggest challenges you face. The moments when you cry out, am I there yet? No one else may ever know the side paths you had to go on to even get to where you are today. But the beautiful thing is, our God knows, and he's there for you through it. It's amazing. He is always with us. So if you're taking notes, this is my last point for you today. The longer it takes you to get to the there, the more time you get to spend with him here. The longer it takes you to get to the there, the more you get to spend with him here. And then when you figure out that God is as much in the here as he is in the there, suddenly the there doesn't seem as important. You have all those questions, and suddenly, you know, are we there yet becomes, can I stay with you a little longer? Or I've waited for that for so long becomes, I'll wait on the Lord all the days of my life. Or you still haven't answered my prayers, Lord, becomes, I'm complete in your presence. Regardless of where you find yourself today, whatever situation, God has a promise for you. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. A promise from God today is you will never be left, and he will always be with you. Take every opportunity to make the here meaningful. Cross the point of no return. And the longer I'm here, the more I can journey with him. There's an example in the Bible that fits this principle so perfectly. Paul and Silas can be found in the New Testament, in Acts specifically. And they were people who traveled around and were Christians. They preached, they healed people, they baptized people, and they were doing this in the area of Philippi, and they were spreading the gospel. But in their actions, they upset some Roman officials, and the Roman officials were upset because they kind of ruined the way of them making money, and so they rallied the authorities and rallied people behind them, and they were really upset with Paul, and so they got a mob against them. And so this mob came against Paul and Silas, and then they were arrested, they were stripped, they were beaten, and then they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them. We pick up in this story in Acts 16:25-31, and it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Stop. Let's hold right there. These men were doing great acts of God, yet it appears that they were being punished. They were beaten. They were mocked. They were stripped. The whole town was going through, and they were thrown in jail. Yet in one verse, they summarize everything that I've talked about so far. They made the most out of their situation. They praise the Lord in their circumstance, not just for the benefit of themselves, but the benefit of the prisoners that were listening to them. They crossed the point of no return. I don't know about you, but if you end up in jail, you've probably crossed a point of no return. You've kind of gone all in at that point, right? And they recognized that no matter what it looked like, it just meant that they could spend time with Jesus. Amazing, amazing example for us to live by. Verse 26, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up and we saw the prison doors. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. At that time, prisoners were reliable for, jailers were reliable for the prisoners. And so it was their responsibility. And if they failed at their job, it could cost them their life. And so he's thinking his life is already forfeit, which is why he's about ready to take it. And Paul shouts, don't harm yourself. We're all here. What? This is so surprising to me. God has answered their prayers. They were doing the work of the Lord, and now they find themselves in this place where God has provided a way. They answered the prayers. God was amazing. Probably the things that they were worshiping about, that you provide a way no matter my circumstance. You've done this for me. All these great things. And we find themselves still in the prison. It doesn't make any sense to me. As I'm reading this, my mind is blown. But yet I realize that Paul and Silas knew God's purpose for them was greater than their circumstance. In verse 29, the jailer came, called for lights, rushing in and fell before Paul and Silas. And we brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. They knew God had a reason for them being there, and they found out that reason was for the benefit of others. I wonder how many times God has looked to use us or myself, and I'm too busy looking at, well, I'm stuck in the here. Or I'm too worried about God, why am I not there? That I neglect to look around. Maybe the reason you're facing whatever you're facing is not because you're being punished for something, but God is looking to you to be an example for someone else. Just as Paul and Silas were used to save the jailer and his entire family, maybe your situation is just to help the person next to you. I don't have it all figured out. I'm just 28-year-old single dude that is trying to follow God's call on my life. I'm still struggling with this, my own challenges. I'm trying to live it out. And it's hard to admit where the moments where we're here, where we always want to talk about where we're going. You know, my greatest desire is to be a dad, to have my own family. And that's hard to be here. But I know that I'm not alone. And I know if my struggle, that someone else probably has the same one. And if my struggle can help one person, then it's probably worth it. What is the here that you are longing for? Go to him with it. Seek after him. He's placed those desires in you. He knows them. It's okay to come to the Lord with the desires of your heart. But what are you going to do in the here? Make the most of the opportunity. Cross the point of no return. Be in his presence in the here, because his presence is the greatest gift he's given us. But why does the Lord have you here? Is it to pull yourself closer to him? Is it to show that he is faithful to you? Or maybe it's for the benefit of someone else. As we go into a time of worship in just a little bit, I ask that you just come and be in the here right now. That these altars are for the hungry, and that you can come and be in the presence of the Lord. You can seek prayer from people around you. Just be, God, I don't know what there looks like. And maybe the there isn't what I wanted, but here and now, I'm looking toward you to be my Lord and leader, to guide and direct me, to comfort me in the here, to have your presence be here as much as it is there. Will you stand with me as we worship? Lord, I'm so thankful for the opportunity to speak. And I hope that I conveyed your love, your grace, and your mercy. That in these moments of feeling stuck, left behind, uncertain, that we can have the comfort that you are with us and that you will never leave us. That you crossed the point before we even knew about who Jesus was, that you came after us and sought after that. And right now I'm asking that you penetrate our hearts, that your love be revealed to us, and that we can have a moment where we can praise you and have a moment of just sitting in your presence in the here and now. Do what only you can do, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.